You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Bills camp day two. Out at St. John Fisher University. I'm so old, it was college when I went there. You went to Buffalo State College, I believe it was called when you were a student. Now it's everybody's university. Now
Canisius
everybody's so fancy.
University, that sounds great.
Everybody's so fancy. Sal with us now on what was probably a pretty hot second practice of camp, although these morning practices help a little bit. I don't know, Sal, were you thinking that? Did it feel like you were getting a break this morning?
I think it's as bad as it could get and as bad as it got during the afternoon, for sure. I mean, people have said to me, I've received a lot of texts today. Hey, how you doing? You staying hydrated? Things like that.
Right.
And I'm like, look, it could be a lot worse. We could be out here in the afternoon, but it's in morning practice. And obviously that helps, right? So, yeah, it could have been a lot worse. I think this should be like the hottest day out here. But camp gets like this sometimes. And they've had two shorter practices so far. And I don't know if that's by design initially or if the heat plays into it, maybe a little bit of both, but it went today to like maybe 11:35, same thing yesterday, and you know they could go a little longer, but they haven't.
So you wrote at our website WGR550.com about how the Bills spent some time today getting the ball down the field, 15 to 20 yard pass plays. You know, of course he's not going to get hit, right? You take as much time as you need. But did you feel that this was like today's point of emphasis?
I did. And I wonder if it was something going in that they wanted to concentrate on that, or if it was that's just kind of the way the plays developed. Knowing how practices work this time of year, my guess is they really wanted to work on this specific part of the game. And hey, we're going to look to this area of the field, and we're going to try and hit some balls there. And I thought that the offense was successful in doing that. Of course, that comes with the other side of the ball, doesn't make the plays. You know, I mean, you always want some give and take. But I thought the offense had a better day today than they did yesterday, and especially in the intermediate passing game, which I do think they intentionally concentrated on.
Yeah, some of what I've read, including from you, indicated that maybe Keon Coleman had certainly a much better day than you. I don't think he caught a ball yesterday. Not that I'm one that's keeping stats on this or anything, but I found out he didn't catch a pass yesterday when I heard him being complimented today. But a good day for him, you'd say?
I would say so, yeah. I put a video up today of the pre-practice period, the warm-up period, you know, the quarterbacks throwing routes to receivers, because obviously once they go to offense against defense, we can't do that. We can't shoot any video. And the reason why I put it up was because it relates to what happened during there, which is there was a play, there was a throw. Keon Coleman makes an in-cut from Josh, probably about 10 yards down the field. He catches the ball, and I mean, immediately he puts his foot in the ground and turns upfield. And I got to tell you, it sounds simple. It really does. But that's one of those little coaching points you learn when you're very young. And when you tell receivers, you catch that ball, you don't stay on your path for two or three steps, right? You know what I mean? You could catch it and just keep riding and then get upfield. It's you catch it and you go, like a running back trying to get to the edge. And he did that really well. And then guess what happened during the 11-on-11? Same kind of thing. Going the other way, he catches it right around, you know, maybe I'd say 25 yards downfield on this one. It's a pretty deep throw from Josh Allen. And he found himself in a really good spot, caught the ball, and he just turns up the field. Then he gets to the sideline. And, you know, that was a notable play for me. I think that he had a good day. I think Curtis Samuel was the guy today for me that I really latched onto. I thought he had a really strong day today. He worked that intermediate range really well. They threw it to him in all levels of the field, but especially that intermediate range, I thought he made a couple of really nice plays.
Well, I really wonder about him. I mean, I know going back to a year ago at this time before he suffered the toe injury during – that was joint practices in Pittsburgh, if I remember correctly. It was like, wow, how many different things are they going to do with him? You know, just the variety of ways that you could utilize a player with his skill set. And, you know, you go through the year and it's such kind of a downer of a year mostly until really the very end for him. I think maybe we should be thinking about starting that conversation over again, right? Like all the different things they may want to do with Curtis Samuel. If he's healthy, maybe he's really an interesting factor in this offense.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you guys, we've talked long enough where you know that's kind of how I felt always about Curtis Samuel going into this year. I think last year was kind of a bit of a wash for what they wanted to do. It's almost like, as you said, you start over. I think the same plan is in place for Curtis Samuel. They want him to be a matchup guy. They want him to be a guy that they can put all over the field in different spots, including in the backfield. He's played running back, right? I think we saw a little glimpse of that in training camp last year, but you could, because he's played running back, you could put him in the slot. You could put him outside. He can win at different levels because he does actually have really good speed. Unfortunately, we just didn't see all that come together last year, and I think because of time on task with the injury, a lot of that, you know, you have a lot on your plate when you're supposed to do that, and then just the timing of everything gets messed up. I think you just kind of start over from that regard, to be quite honest with you, and you put him back in that position and say, this is why we brought him here, and we still think he can be that guy.
Is there anything to say about Elijah Moore yet?
No. He is just, he's got really good feet. I notice him right off the line of scrimmage. He's got really good feet. I haven't noticed him in the 11-on-11 or 7-on-7 portion as much as I do when I'm watching like the 1-on-1. Like when you're standing next to him and you watch the physical skill set of him just kind of releasing against air, running a route, like he looks like a really good athlete who has suddenness to him. You could tell that. I haven't seen much happen with him in the 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. I mean, one point to make here about Keon, to circle back, and I think this kind of goes for everybody since we're talking about receivers, though. I really like the point that Joe Brady made today. Now, Joe didn't say it like this, but he basically is what he said, which is, don't judge Keon Coleman until you get the pads on. This isn't his game. Keon Coleman's game isn't shorts and a t-shirt, right? Keon Coleman's game is physicality. When you try to put hands on him and how he can win separating from you as you're running down the field. Right now, you can't do that. He could put hands on him. You're not fighting. You're not hand fighting right there, right? He can't use his strengths in this environment right now. And I really like that point. To me, it's the same reason I say I don't really watch O-line and D-line right now, because I'm not really gaining anything. What am I doing? Right, they're just going against each other and putting their hands on each other's chests and moving a little bit. I think that goes here, too. I want to see that with Elijah Moore, not because of the physicality in the same regard as I want to see with Keon Coleman. I want to see what happens when they're pressing, you know, Elijah Moore at the line of scrimmage, and he has the ability with his feet to kind of make a difference here because they can't necessarily get him.
I did see his name come up today in my feed while practice was going on, but it was more to be a compliment, I think, to Matt Milano, who chased him down pretty capably on an end-around try, if I read that correctly.
Matt Milano is just such a good athlete. He really is. I mean, he made a couple plays today that it's almost to the point where, like, I guess I did note one of them. I did write about it. I tweeted about it. I wrote about it. But he makes these plays. They're so routine for him, it seems like. And I know that he hasn't been on the field. But he just, that's what he does. He diagnoses. He gets to a spot. He is so good at getting to a spot on the field before anybody else because he's so good at understanding how to do that. It's seeing it and diagnosing it. But it's also the angle you take and the path you take. I mean, I don't know this. I'll have to ask Matt. I bet you Matt was a running back in his life. You know what I mean? Like he has the vision to understand how to get to a spot so well. It's great.
So there's no equivalent here. Like cornerbacks, they say, are cornerbacks because they can't catch. I don't know if Milano had fumbling issues or something as a running back. if he did play the position. Would that or something else qualify as the best of camp today? It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. And we'll find out later why Bulldog reacted like that.
Well, I'll tell you right now why, because I'll be honest. Sal, go ahead. Tell us what you think it is, but I think I know what you're going to tell me. tell us.
It's not
else.
Any of that stuff.
Right.
Right,
right.
Bulldog?
Yep.
It's
no.
James Cook's play
right.
today.
Yep.
James Cook had a legit, I think, I say it like this because, as I tweeted, you can never know when a play will actually be stopped in this environment, right? Because they blow the whistle as guys get close to you. So even though guys always are taught to continue to run for a touchdown, and it's so funny, the fans are like, yeah, there he goes. I'm like, yeah, he would have been stopped for a two-yard gain, actually, but he's not tackling him, right. So he just runs out. That wasn't the case for this little like swing pass caught in the flat by James Cook. Like, I think he legitimately had a 70-yard touchdown on this play, to be quite honest with you. He caught the ball in the flat. Reggie Gilliam was in front of him, makes a block. I don't remember who was out there. It was a corner. And he made one cut and then got to the sidelines, and bam, he was off to the races. And then the only other guy left deep was DeMar, and Tyrell Shavers got in his way. And again, can't block, but he got in his way enough where I think James Cook would have made this a legit 70-yard touchdown. So much so that I'm confident in saying that Deion Dawkins brought that play up when he talked with us after practice today and said, I think he would have had a 70-yard touchdown. And I'm like, right. Yep, I think he would have too.
What about Cook and his comments today? We've talked about this all the time. And when last we spoke before camp started, you mentioned how back at minicamp, you weren't entirely clear on what he was going for or what his motives exactly were, or what his plan was. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Today, he was asked, among other things, about whether he considered a hold in or not being here. And he said, to one of or both of those things, he said, I'd never really thought about it. Well, that's interesting. It furthers my state of confusion about this. Like, what actually was the strategy here with Cook?
Well, I think to James' credit, when we say this, right, to talk about this, which I agree, everything you just said, Mike, there was never that threat. Like, nobody put that threat out there. That was always a speculation by all of us, right. By people in the media. Like, we never heard James Cook say he wouldn't come and show up, except for the one maybe answer he gave at minicamp, like, well, we'll see when I get there. But, like, it was never anything that seemed. The only thing we ever heard from James Cook and his side was this number, $15 million, right? That's what we keep seeing and hearing and people putting out there. So when he does that, you know, we get to, okay, well, is he gonna hold in? That never happened. I think I got a little more clarity today just from listening to him. And I think the clarity is simply James Cook feels he's one of the best, if not the best, running back in the league, and he wants to be paid as such. And whether that's from the Buffalo Bills or someone else, that's what his goal is. His goal is to get that contract. He wants to get paid. He wants to be a good teammate while he's here. He loves his team. There's nothing that means that he doesn't, none of that, but he feels that he should be compensated what he's worth, and he feels he's worth top running back money.
It was interesting to hear him talk about his desire to get involved on third downs more than he has been, which I guess almost any involvement on third downs would be more than he has been, because he just that has not been his role. And said, like, somewhat authoritatively, I think he said, like, and I'm going to do that, right? I want pass blocking and all that stuff. And I thought, did Joe Brady talk this morning? Did he say anything about, was he asked about James Cook's role on third downs? Because I'm curious if the team shares what Cook's vision is, because his motivation to show he can do that part of the job, it would be obvious, right? I mean, I hope he knows, maybe the biggest thing standing in his way of getting a big top-of-the-market contract for a running back is that he played less than 50% of the snaps. And a way to up that to 60 or 70% is to be more trusted on third downs.
Yeah, I know exactly how emphatic you're talking about, because he said it to me. He looked right at me. I asked him about what that means, right. When he says wanting to play on third down. I said, what does that mean, like, for you? Does that mean – I said, we know you – what I said was, hey, we know you can catch the ball out of the backfield. So does that mean being a better pass blocker and showing that you can handle those duties? And he said, yeah, everything, you know, even being better, you know, catching the ball. But he said, I want to be on third down, and I'm going to. And I took it more as not he's been told he's going to. I took it more as a confidence of, oh, yeah, I got this.
Like, I'm going to show them I can do it. Right.
Yep, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. That's the way I took it. I agree. I think by his answer, Bulldog, he kind of knows, like, this is a barrier to him right now. Mm-hmm. This is something that he has to show. Now, maybe, I don't know this, speculation, maybe James Cook feels that he should be on third down more. Maybe he feels that the Bills are holding him back from being on third down, and he's done what he can do. I don't know, right? That's really interesting. Does he feel that if he was with another team, another coaching staff would trust him more on third down and give him a bigger role on third down? Maybe that's where some of this comes from as far as making the money, where he feels, No, it's not me, like, not being on third down, which is causing this. It's you guys telling me I can't be on third down, but I know I can do that.
One thing, if this isn't too small a sample size, I want to think that it isn't. I mean, he was kind of famous for his drops 2 years ago. He had six officially. Yep. 11% of his targets were drops. And that season, this is 2023, 44 catches. And the total yards, like air yards, on those plays, 47. So it was a little bit down the field. Contrast that, might not sound like much, contrast that to last year, 32 catches, a notch lower. The total yards in the air before being caught, minus two. So like everything
was at the
that was thrown to him
behind,
was out in the flat, right, behind the line of scrimmage. And I think for him to get where he wants, the way you're talking, the way he was talking, is he's got to get to a point where they're going to throw him, you know, like wheel routes or, you know, curls or something where he's like for first downs, you know, at the sticks. Mm-hmm. Because none of that went away. I mean, there was a little bit of that before. You can think New England is one. You can think of a couple of drops that were pretty, you know, egregious. But last year they kind of took that out of their offense. They took that away from him.
Yeah, you're right. I think I go back to thinking about 2 years ago, not this past year, but a couple owners meetings ago, Sean McDermott talking about that like type of philosophy on offense, which is I really kind of took note when he's like, you know, you don't have to throw the ball downfield to, you know, get the ball downfield. You can throw it short and have a guy run. Like, he said that at the owners meetings 2 years ago. Well, lo and behold, that's exactly what you're talking about, Mike, which is I have a running back here. I don't have to hand it to him. I'll just throw it to him as a running back and then let him do what he does. And James Cook's really good at that. I don't know if the drops from 2 years ago played into that. You know, last year, how they did this and how they worked it. They also have Ty Johnson, who's pretty good out of the backfield, mm-hmm. who can run some of those routes. They've run some of those wheel routes to him. So we'll see what the plan is. I mean, you know, going into this year, if it changes at all. But I expect a lot of that same stuff. I expect a lot of the touchdown he had today was that. It wasn't down the field. It was basically behind the line of scrimmage or right at the line of scrimmage.
My
angle, I was in the end zone. It was coming at me, and he caught it, and he just made a move and went down the field.
Anything to report on the cornerback two battle? I know it's only, you know, day two of training camp, but was there, you know, anything at all between White and Hairston notable today?
The only thing I'll tell you is that early on there was an 11-on-11, and Josh threw the ball deep down the sideline to Keon Coleman. And Max Hairston was with him, stride for stride. So that was a good play by him. Again, let's see what happens when these guys get pads on. You're talking about a size difference there. Is there anything that happens differently, you know, through the course of that route? But that was nice coverage by Max Hairston. And then I did note that almost every time, Tre'Davious White comes off the field and Max Hairston comes on for him, they make eye contact, they pass each other, and they either exchange words or give a low five or a fist bump or something like that. I just think those things are, you know, notable, right? You got a guy here who's a veteran. You know, the other guy's coming to take your spot, essentially. You know, Trey's kind of the penciled-in starter, I guess you'd say. And I think just shows Tre'Davious White's willingness to be a good teammate and say, look, I mean, this kid, I'm trying to help him. I'm not trying to hurt him.
Right. How about injuries today? There was Dorian Williams and A.J. Epenesa, I heard, left early. I didn't see any details on Epenesa, but you saw Williams after practice yourself, right?
I did. I didn't see any. I haven't not seen or heard anything about A.J. Epenesa's injury. In fact, I did not see either of them get hurt in any way. They both went to the trainer's tent area. But after practice, I did see Dorian Williams come out of the locker room as we were standing ready for press conferences. He walked up the stairs that lead to the dorm and lunch area, and he was on his own. He didn't have a trainer with him, a coach with him. He walked on his own, but he also had his lower right leg wrapped with like a sleeve on it, you know, a compression sleeve, I'd say. And then he had a pretty noticeable limp, I would say. But he did walk on his own, which is good. Dawson Knox was on the field today, not in a playing capacity, but
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Working with a trainer off to the side, so obviously that's very good news for Dawson Knox to hopefully return, you know, sooner rather than later.
Recognizing that you said what you said about not watching the lines because there's no pads and there's not a lot to be gained there, but seeing as how Epenesa has come up, I'm wondering if it's crazy to think that maybe a good camp, a good preseason, just a good summer overall from Javon Solomon could put Epenesa in peril at all.
Agreed, and I think the team really likes Javon Solomon. I liked what I saw from Javon Solomon. Not that I don't like A.J. Epenesa, but this is a second-year player who I thought really showed some flashes when he played last year. I don't know if I've said to you guys, but if you go and look, I think Javon Solomon is the exact same size as Jerry Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
He's like, it's you know, he's a undersized pass rusher, but you're talking about, you know, him putting a really nice college career together, putting numbers up. Getting the passer doesn't have to translate, but a lot of times that position, it kind of can. I agree with you. I think if that's the case, you know, then maybe you're looking at an A.J. Epenesa, and I think they do save some money moving on from A.J. Not that I predict it necessarily here, but, you know, that might be a decision they have to make towards the end of training camp.
Sal, I believe I've read that you're going out tonight.
I mean, don't I go out every night?
Do you?
Here?
Maybe?
No, I am, yeah. We had a nice night last night over at the Pittsburgh pub, just a few media colleagues getting together and having some dinner and unwinding a little bit. But tonight, a little bit different. Matt Bovey and I are going to be headed over to Bar Bill East over on Empire Boulevard out here in Rochester. We're going to do our It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast live. And then if you're not there live, you don't watch it, you can always watch the recorded version, which is fine, obviously. We've done it the last 2 years. We've had a great crowd. We set up another camera and mic. If people want to come up and ask us questions, we can do that as well. I believe we're going to have a little bit of WGR swag out there as well. And Fiddlehead IPA is helping make it possible. So they're going to be out there. So we're going to have a really nice time tonight out at Bar Bill East.
Very good. Any questions for us?
Any questions?
Yankees.
Oh, yeah. You were talking. No Yankees. No
four
Yankees.
More errors yesterday, Sal. No,
they lost. I wasn't going to mention it.
I know. You didn't ask me about the AFC East discussion. I was prepared for you to ask me about the AFC East discussion. So it's not necessarily a question. I guess I'll ask you, did you ever read when Dan Shaughnessy, on a yearly basis, would write an article about the tomato cans the Patriots are facing in the AFC East?
No, but I'd believe it.
Yep. So he used to do this, and I used to read it every year and get mad. Like, come on, like somebody can. Your discussion reminded me of that. Are we overconfident? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, the Patriots went through this for 20 years, and they just kept winning every single year. It did not matter.
Well, is that a fair comp? Maybe it is. I mean, nobody seems close right now.
Right.
To what the Bills are. So at least for now, it seems like that's maybe fair.
We know the Bills haven't had the, you know, overall successes them with the Lombardis and things like that. But, you know, I just remember Dan Shaughnessy writing articles about how the Patriots once again have a bunch of tomato cans. They're playing in the AFC East, and I'll see you in January. I mean, seriously, right? And it kind of remind me of that, to be honest with you.
I know he wrote books about how the Red Sox didn't win championships because of ghosts. But I didn't know about this other
brand. I read a few of those books.
Brand.
Yes.
Yeah, because of ghosts. Turns out they were able to win somehow. They were able to overcome the ghosts.
The ghosts let them win, finally.
Changed their mind.
That's what happened, yeah.
Thank you, Sal. Should be a fun night.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, that's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Training camp coverage from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
I like hearing the name Jerry Hughes. Every time I hear that name, I get a little bit happy. I went to Twitter to see if he's – I don't think he's in camp anywhere, but I might be wrong. I haven't found out. But, you know, you search Jerry Hughes, and there his – he's used Twitter many times. He's been on there. There's his handle. And there's this other guy, Jerry Hughes, 54. a different Jerry Hughes. Mm. And his bio says, views my own.
Okay.
So I went to it. He's never tweeted. And he joined 12 years ago.
The man has no views.
Unless he's replied to other people, and I'm not seeing any replies. Mm. He's got an account. He follows no one. He has his own views, but you don't get to know them. They're so his own that he's not sharing. That's actually a great bit. I'm going to have Twitter. I'm going to announce that these are my own views, but guess what? I'm not telling you what they are. They're so my own, I'm keeping them to myself.
Interesting that he went with Jerry Hughes 54. Jerry Hughes' number was 55, at least with the Bills. I don't know what he wore in Houston, but I
52
think it was...
52
okay.
In Houston.
Okay.
But this is a different guy.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, gotcha. Right.
A picture of a different guy.
Right.
Views my own, but they remain unknown to us, whatever they actually are. Mystery guest time. Not next, but we'll announce who it is. I think Bulldog will be happy about it, but I'm going to put him to the test here, see if he can figure out who it is. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, that's coming up after sports here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.